This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn McGee calling from Ocala, Florida.
You need more coffee. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 20th, episode 1151. That's a lot of ones. It's brought to you today by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. So good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and, doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
We have so much to talk about. I can't believe how jam-packed this show is going to... What? Huh?
Couldn't wait. Just jumped right in. So much stuff.
I know. I'm not going to wait. We're going to talk about Cosmic One here in just a second because, you know, he ran his first race on Friday. But what I want to talk to you about first is, have you seen the viral video of the girl whose foal, or filly, I think it was a filly, comes over to her, hugs her, lays down on top of her? Have you seen that video? It has like 7 million views.
No, I missed that one. Was that over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Go on to, I think I posted the link in our show notes, Glenn. You need to go look. So what happens is, it is a heartwarming, this is from Horse Talk, a heartwarming minute-long video of a young woman in Florida sharing a cuddle with a foal has gone viral on the internet, receiving at this point probably about 7 million views. Sonny Bain says, "This is the best day of my life." As the filly moves into cuddle, she kind of ducks her head down, and the filly like puts her feet on top of her, and they lay down together, and it's like the cutest thing I've ever seen. The Bain posts the video on Friday. It's been shared like a bazillion times. She says, "It's the sweetest baby horse I've ever been around. I'm so in love with it." Have you seen the video yet, Glenn?
No, I saw your article there. I see the picture of the foal laying on her.
Look, I think somebody posted it on my page somewhere. Let's see. Because any horse person, I can't believe you haven't seen this because it's been shared so many times. And the only thing I could think of, Jennifer, have you seen it?
I just watched it. I had to dig a little bit till I came across the video. But yes, I watched it, and it is adorable. It's just adorable.
It is so cute. And I just think that I have become a salty, old-timey horse person because the first thing I thought of as I watched this is, oh my God, that is the worst idea I've ever seen. That is so horrible. I can't believe you would teach your horse to do that because I'm sorry, it's a thoroughbred. At some point, this horse is going to be 1,000 pounds and it crushes its head on her and like flips over on top of her. And it's so cute now, but it is not going to be cute when the horse is 1,000 pounds.
It's like all those things you do with puppies. When they're puppies, when you know darn well that when they become dogs, it's a bad idea. But
yes,
you do it anyway because they're cute puppies.
I know. I'm sorry. I feel terrible because somebody posted it and I was like, oh, that's going to suck when they're older. And then every other person was like, I'm crying. It was so beautiful. I'm like, oh, what is wrong with me? Did anybody else see that, and I thought there's only one place that I will find camaraderie, and that is on this radio show with our listeners. So I'm interested to see what everybody else says about it. Maybe we could post the video and or share the video and just say, you know, Jennifer, just ask people, is this adorable or is this a training nightmare? And I feel terrible that I'm salty enough to think, like, I wasn't emotionally moved. I was cringing. So maybe
now,
that's
Jamie,
just me.
Up until about 3 minutes ago, I was feeling so good about myself because for once, I just let go. I said, oh, isn't that adorable? And completely let go of the part of me that was saying, oh, this is a training nightmare. Don't ever let a horse do this. This is a bad idea. She's going to get her head stepped on. For once in my life, I did that. And then you have to bring this up, and I feel like a complete schmuck.
Because now you see it my way?
With wearing a helmet, people. She was even wearing a helmet,
yeah.
Which I was kind of surprised. She was even wearing a helmet.
She's wearing a helmet and a vest. It looks like she just got off of exercise riding.
Kind of looks like a jockey.
And she does. It looks like it's in Florida, according to the ground. You know, it's that clay sand stuff, and probably down in Ocala, probably right near you. And it's adorable. And so she's got her flak jacket on, and she's got her helmet on, and she's got some goggles. So it looks like she just got off of a horse exercise riding. And this foal comes up and, like, cuddles with her, and it's the cutest thing ever. And I just think it is, like, the worst idea. And I feel terrible that I am a salty,
You're an old curmudgeon.
Yes.
Curmudgeon. That's it. You're a curmudgeon.
My lawn. You can't get off my lawn.
And turn down that music. It's too loud. Oh, what is wrong with me? Anyway, that is where we're at. Jennifer, I can't wait to see what everybody thinks. But Jennifer, what's coming up on today's very busy show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the annual pilgrimage to Lexington, Kentucky has begun. And we will get an on-the-road report from competitor Lainey Asker, who is leading the caravan on their way to Rolex. And then next up, the equestrian triathlon is here. And Robert Young is stopping by to fill us in on what may become the very next big thing in three-phase equestrian competitions. And galloping across the finish line, approximately 600 lengths behind the pack, Horse Nation has the latest shenanigans from the wacky world of horses. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. We're going to do our daily winnies next. My daily winnie goes out to all of our new listeners, and boy, we have a lot of them here recently. And this is thanks to the help of some of our fans, too. I saw posted on our Facebook page that Ellen from New York was out promoting over the weekend. She was at, let me see what it says here. She was at the Ulster County Horse Council Obstacle Course event wearing her hat and representing, and she said to give them a big shout-out. So hello, everybody from Ulster County. Welcome to the show. And all of our new listeners, I know we had a ton of downloads of the app over the last week. Not quite sure where they came from, but the numbers were about 10 times normal. So welcome to everybody here. And also a special welcome to Donna Santos, who posted on our Facebook page that she's listening brand new. So good morning, Donna. You know, we tell everybody, thank you for listening. If you're not listening live, you're like most people don't listen live. You can listen on our app if you haven't downloaded it at iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network, and Horses in the Morning is one of 8 shows on the app. So that's probably the easiest way to listen to the show. And we always say, give us a week. If you're not sure about us after day one, give us a week. You'll get used to it, and then you'll love it like everybody else. So that's we appreciate you being here.
Yes, thank you.
And a daily Winnie is just our time to shout out to people, and Jamie has one.
And usually, Glenn, we do shout-outs. I say do-do. we do shout-outs usually.
Yep.
But today is an anti-daily Winnie. I am sucking it back in.
There is no Daily Whinny going through this person. Are you ready for this? Do you remember last week I was telling you about a horse that had a jockey? His name was El Kabir. And his jockey, it was a couple weeks ago, was going to run in one of the Derby prep races. And the jockey was 54 years old, has over 4,000 wins at very small tracks. But the jockey's 54 and would be the oldest jockey to ever ride in the Derby. And El Kabir is pointed to the Derby. He has done all the prep races, got him all qualified. And the horse is owned by the Zayat family. El Kabir is owned by the Zayats. He said, I want to thank the Zayat family for choosing me. I don't want to get my hopes up because it's horse racing and anything can happen. But from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank them for sticking with me. One of my biggest challenges in life is competing with guys half my age and staying relevant. This is why El Kabir is so important. He can revive my career. So powerful. And this morning, news comes out that El Kabir has now been named to be in the Kentucky Derby, ridden by Calvin Burrell. They yanked, Cece Lopez off of El Kabir, and now they're putting Calvin Burrell on it. Boo! I am so bummed about that.
Maybe somebody else will pick him up and put him on a horse, and he'll end up winning.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know me, and you know how spiteful I can be. And if I get mad, I will hold on to that anger, and I will not cheer for El Kabir in the Kentucky Derby. I will not. And Calvin Burrell is not. It's not his fault, and it's not the horse's fault. I understand that, but I am not cheering for the Zayat family anymore, ever again. Done. And that means a lot, okay? Because I'm sure they care what I think.
I think they care about winning the Kentucky Derby, which is why Calvin Burrell. You know, I bet you, can you imagine the negotiating that goes on to get Calvin for you in the Kentucky Derby with his history of taking long shots and running them to victory?
I don't even care. I don't even care. It's just, I'm so mad. He, you know what, Calvin was actually...
You're not going to have anything you could root for because Mike Smith is out, now Calvin Burrell's out. I mean, he left.
I'm not mad at Calvin. It's not Calvin's fault. Of course, he's going to take the ride. He was actually supposed to ride the horse before, but he had a death in the family, which is why they hired Cece Lopez. And Cece had such great results with El Kabir that they kept him on him. And they ride him, and he gets the horse all the way to the Derby, and they're like, yeah, you're done. Get off. Calvin, take the reins. I'm just mad. I just was excited. You know, the Derby's all about good stories and heartwarming stories and who you can pull for because they've got overcoming challenges and overcoming this. And California Chrome, you know, this is this people's first horse. He has no breeding. The horse, the mare, went for a couple $1,000s. Nobody knows who the stud is. And he almost wins the Triple Crown. So people love a good story. And I was going to love hearing about Cece Lopez, and he's 54 years old. And like I said, I'm an old curmudgeon now. So apparently I just cheer for old curmudgeons. And I was excited, and now I'm thank you.
Well, speaking of old, there's a three-year-old horse, and we'll do this quick, and then we'll get to the World Cup, too, because we have to talk about that. There's a horse you should – you know that list? What's that thoroughbred list where you can go on and sign up to be if a thoroughbred ever goes off the track, they have a list of people who want to adopt him. What's that called?
Yeah, you can put him in your virtual stable.
Thoroughbred Connect.
Thoroughbred Connect.
Right, so hop on there and put your name in right now for Cosmic One, Zenyatta's first baby, because Cosmic One's going to be a three-day eventing in about 6 months.
How dare you? Can I just comment?
Sucky, sucky over the weekend. Sucky, sucky. Woo.
Listen here, mister. It was his first
rail
race at 10
to rail in last place. Rail to rail in last place. Cosmic One.
You know what? Hold on. Let me do this real quick. Okay, Jennifer, are you there? I've muted Glenn. So here's what happened.
I did. I muted him.
I'm ready.
Here's what happened. His first race ever was at Santa Anita over the weekend. You know, they don't know what his distance is. He is very fractious and hard to deal with. So they put him in this race. It was a race for horses that have never won. Every other horse in that race had run in a race before. So he's the only horse who's never run. And I wanted him to win so bad that I actually downloaded the TVG app and bet on him. You know how dangerous?
Yeah, that's
that
a bad
is,
idea.
But I need a winning ticket. So I put $5 on him to win. I know.
Did you really?
I think Glenn did that. So I downloaded him. I put it. Yeah, I'm in trouble. I didn't tell Chad that I've been betting on my phone. I don't want to be that girl.
Well,
so
what were his odds when he went off? Do you know what his odds were?
He was the second choice in the race.
Really?
He was actually like 4-1 when I bet on him, and I thought, oh, I'll make a quick $20. But by the time it was done, he was like 9-2 or something. I mean, it was not that, you know, I wasn't going to make that much money. But the point was that I got to bet on Cosmic One. So I'm watching the race, and it ends, and I couldn't grasp it. So as I'm watching it again, Chad walks in, and this is why I muted Glenn, because I just needed to let a girl know that as I'm watching it for the second time, I started bawling, like sobbing.
There went your curmudgeon status.
Oh, my gosh. I was so sad. I mean, he's learning, and he's going to get better, and he's going to be awesome. I don't know why I started sobbing, but I just could not stop crying. And Chad's like, are you okay? I'm like, he's like, what is up with you and this horse and this horse's family? I'm like, I don't know. I love him so much. I just love him.
Hey, look at the positive. You'll be able to own him in about 6 months. Just put your name on the list.
I am gonna hang up on you.
Yeah, I watched the race this morning. I watched it through twice. And in my experienced, professional, curmudgeonly opinion, that Cosmic One needs to run on turf. Because
he didn't
like the dirt in his face. He wasn't as soon as he got close enough to get dirt, he shut down completely. And he's come from behind horse. He can't be, you know, he's not a speed horse. So, there you go.
I love that. I am going to call the Mosses and tell him, him that we think that he needs.
I'm building on previous racing successes here.
Maybe dressage. Nice career in dressage would be good.
Play the race. Shut up and play the race. Be quiet.
I don't think we have time anymore, actually. Jennifer's got to get to our first guest, and we still have to cover. I don't think anybody wants to hear it. He was last when he started. He was last when he finished. They can check.
We're
it
gonna
out.
Play it out. We're gonna play it at the end of the show. Just
oh,
for
there
those
you go. That's depressing to end the show with. There you go, Jennifer.
You hush.
Jamie crying. I don't know why you're so invested in this horse. She has other babies.
I cried my eyes out, and she doesn't. She has one other baby, Glenn, because the other one died. And if you recall, I cried, like, ugly cry when I saw the statue of Santa Anita.
A career for this particular horse. He could go on to be, like, a world champion in polo, you know, or...
How dare you? This is Zenyatta's son you are talking about. I cannot believe that you are being like this. It was his first race. I love him, and he's going to be just fine. So you be quiet.
Did you see what our listener posted? I can't find who it was right now. Somebody posted there. But he posted, here it is. Hillary said, did Cosmic One just win himself an all-expense-paid gelding surgery today?
How dare you people? I cannot believe that you would say things like that.
Somebody, there is a horse that is not too worried about his future. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but if you didn't, you should. Head over. We posted the link on our Facebook page, and Eventing Nation has the video of Charlotte Desjardins doing the freestyle at the World Cup over the weekend. She led going into the freestyle. She had won the Grand Prix oh, my God, there's a reason this horse is number one. It was just an unbelievable ride. She ended up with a 94.196.
She was
10 points ahead of everybody else.
Again, my poor husband had to watch a lot of stuff online, and I showed him this. And as he's watching it, I just wanted to give you the non-horse person perspective. He goes, no, that can't be real. Horses don't do things like that. And this is my husband who has watched Grand Prix horses in Spain, okay, Andalusian. He's like, no, that can't be real. Horses don't do – he's like, I've never seen – he knows what half pass is. He's like, I've never seen a half pass like that. What? And he's like, the canter pirouettes. He's like, no, that can't be real. I'm like, I'm telling you, this horse is amazing, and I'm not the only one who cries at horses, because apparently, all the tweets that I read on Eventing Nation, people were openly weeping when she was riding, openly weeping.
I mean, you just saw the place go absolutely nuts when she was done. It did go absolutely nuts when she did her winning lap and the whole thing. You know, and she's so humble, and she's so friendly, and she's so nice. And just Vallegro is an incredible horse. And she knows she's so lucky to be where she is now, and she's just riding the wave. But, boy, the judges, it doesn't matter what country she goes to, she just takes those 90s. It's a once-in-a-lifetime pairing, that's for sure. And then
scored like 10.
Falcon second. So, you know, there you go. It's too bad we never got to see Totalis in his heyday with Vallegro. You know, that would have been good. But, oh well. Here we are.
It happens. Hey, we've got somebody on hold.
Yeah, there's somebody else that I think would love to be taking Vallegro into the dressage competition in about 3 days. And then maybe finishing out with Anthony Patch. And that is Lainey Ashker, who is part of a caravan that left this morning out of Ocala headed for Kentucky. Good morning, Lainey.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
All right. If I could get you Vallegro for dressage in a couple of days, would that be good?
That would probably be ideal, and I would probably end up keeping him. That would be like, if I had one wish, a genie came out and said, pick, it would be like between Vallegro and Totalis. If I could just do one extended trot, just one, that's all I asked for. I would give my arms for that. So
amazing.
And it's funny, Jamie mentioned the half passes watching it. That is one thing that stuck out to me, not being an expert in any of this. It's just, you know, you see half passes and you see crappy half passes, and then you see a horse that does it perfectly, and it's like, oh my God, you can see such a difference. So you're right, Jamie, about don't know, you know, watching it. Well, Lainey, you've been down this road a few times heading to Kentucky, and we're all hoping. I noticed that on Eventing Nation, a couple of them, you definitely have a lot of supporters over there. Their writers are all rooting for you, and you've been the pick of several of them. And I got to tell you, how's it feel? Does it feel any different when you've done it a few times?
You know, it does. It's you know, I went when I was 20, my first Rolex, and I was so excited, and you know, I really sort of understood at my first Rolex the saying that Buck always used to tell me and still tells me is, don't let your highs get too high and your lows get too low, because my high was like way high, and I was, and now going into it, I think having had some experience and having great experiences, my best experiences there, but also my worst experiences there, I kind of go in with a bit more knowledge, and you know, everybody's like, are you excited? And yeah, I'm excited, but I'm excited in a way that's a bit more manageable, and I'll be more excited, you know, when I'm sort of been there, done that, kind of, you know, finishing up. So, you know, it's an honor just to be on the list, and you know, this will be Al's fourth Rolex, I believe. So it's great to go on a partner that I've had for such a long time.
Well, now you're doing pretty well on Anthony Patch too. It's a thoroughbred, right?
Yes, he's an off-the-track thoroughbred.
Yeah, and you came out of the Ocala Horse Properties Festival of Eventing, which was a combined test, and winning that, you had to feel pretty good about how he's sitting right now.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's really, you know, to be honest, the horse has always been world-class since he was a 4-year-old when I got him off Lauren and Paul Jaden. I wasn't world class, so he's had to deal with a subpar rider, you know, for quite some time. And I was a bit over-mounted having a horse that was probably a little bit too talented for what I could offer him as a rider. And, you know, now I'm starting to sort of learn how to ride him and hone his skills. And, you know, someone probably could have done better things and bigger things with him, but, you know, I like to say better late than never. And I'm just really enjoying our partnership. Like, he's just like putting on your perfect pair of shoes, you know. And I know what to expect on dressage day with him. You know, I know what things he's going to spook at. He's quite a spooky horse. I know what things he's going to, you know, I need to really focus on for cross country. And I know what he'll, you know, what sort of workout routine he needs before show jumping, you know. And so it's just, that's what's nice. Whereas if you go in on a new horse, a new ride, or their first four-star, you just never quite know what to expect.
Lainey, first of all, shame on you for saying that he would have a better rider. You are awesome, and we are huge fans of you. So you just watch your mouth.
Thank you.
I will come and get you. Second of all, is there anything that you've done different being the Rolex veteran, if you will? Is there anything you've done different leading up to this that's going to be different than the last couple times?
You know, I have to say the biggest difference in my riding has been, you know, I've been doing a lot of FEI dressage, not with Al, but with I have a horse called Santiago de los Carvito. He's an Andalusian that I've had the ride on and started him. He started at first level, and now we did our first I-1 in Wellington this year. And
wow.
And starting FEI level dressage last year, after Rolex, actually it was like 2 weekends after Rolex last year, I started doing FEI, and all of a sudden I grew this newfound respect for dressage. At first, you know, watching people like Charlotte and Edward Gall, you know, you look at it and it's beautiful, but you're like, all right, they're just, you know, princesses, whatever. But actually now having done something as low level, like pre-St. George, oh my God, the respect that I've gained for those people, because it's not just a physical thing, it's actually more mental. It is so much to prepare for and not a lot of time. And, you know, so for me, it's every time it's like going in and doing a four-star cross country mentally, because it's, you know, not having done these tests or having, I'm training the horse up as much as he knows. So it's not like I'm getting a horse that knows how to do pirouettes. Like, I have to train him how to do it, and I don't know what I'm doing. A little bit the blind leading the blind. But it's really helped me break down my dressage test and help me simplify my eventing tests. And it doesn't mean to say that it's easier to do. It just, I'm less hectic and less freaked out about the what's being asked of me to do, you know, in the four-star test because of what I've been doing in the I-1 and the pre-St. George test.
Things come, I mean, I know in the pre-St. George and the I-1s and everything, things come so fast. There's a boom, boom, boom. The next movement is constant. And does it almost
totally
feel like in the eventing test that it slows down a little bit, or is it also
totally
still super fast?
It really does slow down, actually. And funny, now as these tests are changing, like the voltes, the 8-meter circles and the 4-star test, you know, there's certain movements that I've been doing in the dressage test that actually make me feel more prepared for these tests that are starting to unveil in the eventing world. So, like, the new 3-star test that we did at Carolina had a lot of event or dressage movements in it, and so I felt like I had a little bit of one-upping on everybody there because I'd already been practicing those movements for quite some time on my other horse.
Yeah. I'm calling Vegas right now, and I'm going to get the odds on Lainey Asher and Anthony Padge because I feel like we have some insider information here, Glenn. Nobody else knows. It's like nobody knows that she's been practicing this crap on an Andalusian this whole entire time. I'm in. I think you're gonna do awesome, and I know your horse. You call him Al. Is that his barn name?
Yep, Al. He's got many names, but he knows. But his barn name is Al.
The only one she can say, Al. So yeah, that's.
Yep, that's right.
Lainey, let me ask you, who's part of your caravan? I know there's quite a few trailers heading north.
I had dinner a couple nights ago. Allie Knowles was also down at Buck's training with her horse, Sound Prospect, who's also another off-the-track thoroughbred. And then Jenny Brannigan, who's one of my dearest friends with Ping Kambalda. And so we were having dinner the other night, and we're like, let's just caravan together. And so it worked out. So we all sort of, Allie and I left out from Bucks at 3 this morning and met Jenny at like 3:20 at the gas station. And we're just all going up together. And we're all sort of California natives, so we're calling it the California Caravan. So
love it.
So it's great. And it's nice.
That's fitting. That's fitting.
Right, totally. Totally. And it's nice to just go, you know, what's so great about our sport is everybody wholeheartedly and sincerely wants the other person to do well, because our sport is so humbling, and it is dangerous. And it's really nice to have peers like Allie and like Jenny that are my age, who I respect so much as horse people, who I have no problem calling them and asking them for advice on a horse that I'm having an issue with. And it's great having friends that you're also competitors with. And so it's nice to drive up together in case someone has car trouble, because we all know that car trouble happens. And so, yeah, it's just a great way to sort of start off the show the right way.
Well, now that you're not a rookie anymore, I assume there's not Rolex or Bust painted all over the trailers.
Right, exactly. No, there's definitely not.
Well, Lainey, we wish you the best of luck this weekend, and Anthony Patch as well. We'll be watching and rooting for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Well, that's Lainey Ashker, who's on her way to ride in her fourth or fifth Rolex. She started riding at Rolex when she was 20. Did that give you a start? Did that take you back a little?
I don't even want to talk about it. I've already demonstrated that I feel like an old lady on this show today. So I cheer for her. She's super sweet, and she works really hard. So, and I saw a super crash with her one time. So the fact that she can just get on and keep doing it, woo, she's amazing.
You know, and she's super honest. She's one of the riders I love to talk to, because she's just so honest. I mean, she just lets it all out there. You know, she's not guarded. She doesn't give you the political speech. She tells you the way it is. That's one of the reasons we like having Lainey on.
Absolutely.
Well, good luck to her and everybody else riding this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the cell service was so good, because she's parked in downtown Atlanta right now in traffic. So you should know better than to go through Atlanta at 9:30 in the morning. You should ask me. Make it there by noon. You'll be fine. Maybe. But we would like to thank Omega Alpha for being a sponsor of today's show. I got a message from one of our listeners, Doreen Rose, and it was on Facebook, and she tagged me in it. She said, does anybody have any experience using Omega Alpha's Respifree on a horse with allergy issues or heaves? She said she gave Flora her first dose tonight, and not sure if I should expect to see results right away, or does it take a few days? She said she did notice that after half an hour after the Respifree, she started noticing her horse taking some nice deep breaths. she actually bought the product and started using it because of Dr. Chang being on the show. She heard us talk about the respiratory issues, and she has a horse that it goes for. And in my experience with Respifree, I had a horse that coughed a lot, like more than once or twice clearing its throat when you started trotting. I live in Phoenix. It's incredibly dusty out here. And he just started coughing a little too much, but when we first started our exercise. So I started giving him Respifree, and I did the lung flush too. And it really made a difference to where, you know, if we have a dust storm or something, I'll give it to him. But it really worked. I gave him I did the bottle of it, and I did the lung flush, and it really cleared him out. I also have heard from a couple other listeners. Uta posted on this that she used it on her gelding with heaves, took about a week, and it did work. She saw improvements. So if you guys are having any trouble with your horse's lungs or breathing, check out Omega Alpha's products. You know, they're non-testable. They are all herbal. Everything is natural. There's no chemicals in it. So you guys can check it out, OmegaAlphaEquine.com, and they'll get you hooked up. I mean, I've used so many of their products and have just been in love with them. So, again, that's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And thanks, Doreen, for giving me keeping me up to date on this, and definitely let us know in a week how it goes. It's going to be even better, I promise.
I need the lung flush. I need to order some of that for myself. Maybe that would
Dude,
help.
I told you. I told Dr. Chang, I think it was the Respifree that I tasted because I had such a bad cough. I'm like, let's see what happens. And it's not as tasty as one would think. I guess the horses like it, but yuck.
Good. I won't try it then. Thank you for talking me out of that.
No,
that's good.
Suck it up. Come on. The horses do it. You can do it.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And I believe we have our first guest on the, our next guest on the line. It's Robert Young, and he is from the Western Equestrian Triathlon in Canada. It's, don't Google it, but it's Wet Promotions. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is the first time this morning. It was the first time I've ever heard of Western Equestrian Triathlon. Please, tell, educate us. What is it?
Well, it's a concept I was mulling over for actually years because I have had a lot of experience with the English three-day eventing. And I thought maybe the Western people are ready now for something that demands a little more in one competition where they can show off their horse and what the horse can do. So we put together this concept of a triathlon, which would include a Western-style dressage test, which you know Western dressage is really on the upswing these days, mm-hmm. a trail horse class through a series of obstacles, and then a competitive trail ride. All three parts to one competition over 2 days.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. How fun. Okay, so you go in and you, I didn't realize you were the inventor of this sport as well. This is fantastic. As an inventor myself, you know, my husband wants to compete and he just doesn't want to wear the breeches. The breeches, mm-hmm. the boots and breeches he doesn't want to wear. So what is the attire in Western Equestrian Triathlon?
It's pretty flexible. We do like Western attire since it's a Western event. But like you say, it does preclude the breeches and top boots and things like that. People feel a little more relaxed when they're a little more casually dressed. So, you know, it's pretty open. We're not going to be terribly restrictive, but it'll have a Western theme, obviously.
So in Western dressage, is it the equivalent, kind of the counterpart to English where you would wear... And in the English dressage, you're wearing the boots and the coat and everything. In Western dressage, do you have to wear the bling, or is it just a Western pleasure-y type outfit, or is it just regular boots and jeans?
It's pretty open. Again, it can be as fancy as you want or as plain as you want, as long as it's reasonable safe garb with heeled boots and that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's
one
good.
Of the things that bothers a lot of people is the tremendous amount of kit and caboodle you need to show in the regular ring and bling all the way to as far as you want to go
uh-huh.
With crystals and things like that, gold and silver and everything, and a lot of people just don't want to go that route. So that's why we're making it very open. You can wear what you like.
And then to go to the next is trail. And tell us what the trail class, what we would see in a trail class.
Well, it involves a number of obstacles. We're going to try to make it very rustic, the kind of stuff you would find on the trail. Deadfalls, there's obviously the rain back through an obstacle, some side pass over trees and things. There will be a water hazard where people have to go in and out of water. And the gate, you know, the obligatory gate. But pretty straightforward, and for people being introduced to this sport, it's going to be reasonably simple, nothing complicated.
And then the final.
Well, I was just going to say before we get off of that, now eventing cross country is timed. Is this going to be a timed event in the trail?
We're working on that. I don't think so because it's an introductory event, the first time it's ever been run. It'll be, you know, if there's obviously we'll have a time limit, but it's not going to be the fastest time is first. It will be how you approach each object, and each object will be judged independently. So
that's kind of,
you're not going to be penalized because somebody who's really experienced zooms through the course.
I love it. So that's kind of the stadium jumping phase. And then competitive trail ride, this is a long distance course. It's not a short thing.
Well, in the sanctioned trail ride, the minimum ride is 25 miles, and the open ride is usually 35. But for people who haven't shown much and haven't done much work outside, like a lot of people are arena riders or short-time hackers, the distances have been knocked down to 15 and 25 miles so they don't get paralyzed with the idea of having to be on their horse for 2 or 3 hours if they've never done that. This will be the first show. Once people are used to the concept and understand the idea, they will go to sanctioned distances so that the track people who do competitive trail ride will be able to use this show as part of their points for their own division. Lots of competitive trail ride people are planning to come. They'll do all three phases, but their focus is competitive trail ride, so they'll be able to use this competition as one of their point getters.
Well, and I would imagine that eventually they're going to want to get points in Western Equestrian Triathlon because this is such a fantastic idea, super exciting that you came up with this. And yeah. I didn't realize that you're having your first one, and it's going to be July 25th and 26th?
That's correct, and it's the first time it's ever been done anywhere as far as we're aware.
And how do people get entered in this? And is there a qualification, or is it just open to anybody?
The only requirement is membership with the Alberta Equestrian Federation, because it's being held in Alberta. It's open to any rider from anywhere, including the United States, if they want to come up. And that's it. And the website, westernequestriantriathlon.com, has all the information and the entry forms and stuff on it. People can read about it, see what we're doing, and find the entry form right there.
Are you guys on Facebook yet?
Sorry?
Do you have a Facebook page yet?
Yes, we do have a Facebook page, yeah.
Okay.
It's all right, connected right there on the website. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And we're sponsoring Bear Valley Equestrian, Bear Valley Horse Rescue. They're going to get some of the proceeds from the show for their work on rescuing horses and rehoming horses. So we're kind of excited about that, too.
That's great. And I did see that if you are riding a Bear Valley rescued horse in and you should win either division, you get extra money. You get some
right.
prize money, which
yep.
made
so
me
that's
think
an incentive.
It's an incentive. So what is the prize? I event and I just get ribbons. Do you guys actually have money in this?
Yes, we're gonna offer money. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Always encourages people
right
to come. You know.
Already.
Yeah. Well, we're excited, and I've had. We didn't know how it would go. We put the website up, and the interest started to trickle in, and we've had nearly 1,300 hits on the website now. So, lots of phone calls and people saying they're very interested. So we're hoping it's going to go. And be quite a successful show. And if that's the case, then we'll start to put it on regularly and start to open up competitions in other areas of the province and see if we can't get a circuit going.
I love the idea. WesternEquestrianTriathlon.com. Please keep us up to date, Robert, on everything and let us know how it goes. And we wish you the best of luck. What a great idea.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
How cool. You can do that, Glenn.
Well, it'll be perfect because if they're going to start a Western Equestrian Triathlon and the FEI is looking at changing it to Equestrian Triathlon eventing, then the English side, they're going to have to change it to English Equestrian Triathlon.
God, so I had to say that so many times that all I could think about was the name change of eventing, and I just thought, oh, it's just too much. You're right. We'd have to say English Equestrian.
It'll be EET. EET
yeah.
will be what so that just rolls off the tongue. That's just great. Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what I thought of? This event is a novice level event because it's the first one. It's at a novice level, which is reasonably easy for anybody who can keep one leg on each side of a horse and stay sound. Already, they've got more prize money than your average 3-star.
I know.
Again, the Western folks have got it.
How is that?
I don't know how they do it, but they do. They do. Well, you know, it's a good idea. I think it should be interesting to follow and see how it goes. So many Western riders now that are just, you know, that have only trail ridden and are looking at getting into the NATRC and all these other rides. They're just AXA.
Yeah.
They're just not getting out so much. And you know what? The number of Western riders outnumbers the English side about 1,000,000 to 1. So
tell me about it. I live in Arizona. My God. Do you know... My arena is by the road, and when I was out riding Edward yesterday, and in a dressage saddle, people like slow down to see what I am doing. When they drive by, they're like, "What is she?" And I've got a helmet on. Oh my God, it's like crazy around here. These people rode by, and they're like, "How's it go?" Like they just seem sketched out by the fact that I am sitting on an English saddle with a helmet on, and people just like ride by and they're like, "What's up?" They're fancy pants, you know. It just seems so weird, but I'm the only one out here. It seems like.
Well, let's take a break for Equestrian Collections and also our song of the day. And I have one for you. We played this last Thursday. When we did the, we had this guy on the show, but I know you didn't get to hear it, Jamie. His name is Spencer Williams. He's a horse husband, and he's a musician, and he wrote this song called Rescue Husband Blues. And I thought of Chad when he was singing the song, and I think you're going to relate to this. And I think Chad would relate to it, too, if you you have to make sure he listens to this song as well. Right after this word from Equestrian Collections.
Coach Jen here, and I'm here with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com, and she's got the EquestrianCollections.com Product of the Week. Take it away, Debbie.
Oh, well, hi, Jen. One thing I wanted to, this week I wanted to do a shout-out to one of our best listeners, somebody who listens to us every week, and that's Sandy Anastasio down in North Carolina. So just wanted to say hi, Sandy. We appreciate you. This week I wanted to talk about the Hors Bristol Fly Blanket. The reason I'm featuring this is not only because it's at the very beginning of fly season, but this one is a little bit different. The top of it is actually waterproof. So when you're in places that if it's going to be a rainy day, but, you know, sometimes after the rain, ugh, the bugs are horrible. This sheet, it's a fly blanket. They call it a fly blanket because of the waterproofing, it's a little bit, it's not at quite as cool as some of the fly sheets. But it's got the waterproofing on the top. The sides are the mesh, just like, you know, most fly sheets, so that it's cool. But it's still got that waterproofing on the top, and it's got a full neck that comes with this that goes all the way up, you know, to behind the ears. It's not detachable. It's one piece. So if you have, if you live in an environment where there's quite a bit of rain and you want to protect your horse from particularly the bugs after a rain, and you want him to be covered all the way up to his neck, this is the sheet for you. So it's called the Hors Bristol Fly Blanket. It's less than $100 on our website, www.equestriancollections.com. There's a size chart there, so you can take a look at that. It comes in one color. It's white and dark blue. The waterproofing part is a dark blue. So I think that's something that you should look for, especially if you live in kind of a rainy climate. It's also machine washable in cool temperatures, so that's a good thing too.
This is a fantastic product, Debbie. I'm so glad that Hors is making this. There was another company many years ago that made this product, and they stopped making it, and I have one. It's a waterproof sheet on top and a fly sheet on the bottom. And here in Florida and many other parts of the country, we're in the South, it is warm enough to have flies, but cool enough that if your horse gets rained on, he's going to get chilly. And it's fantastic because it pours down rain. It keeps the top of his back dry. But then when it stops raining, it's not so warm that they get overheated underneath, and it keeps the flies off. Because the minute it stops raining, the flies are back out. This is a fantastic product. Have one, use one. Recommended highly.
Well, I knew I was in trouble when my wife saw this old horse. He's a pathetic thing, and she said, "We've just got to take him home. Know that we can't my wife's rescue lead. Suddenly she's getting 15,000 emails a day, most of them from people trying to send another horse our way. A few times I tried to put the brakes on, but it was just too late. She hypnotized 14 other wives all across the state. Well, I guess there's worse obsessions that my darling wife could choose. That sure don't stop me from having the rescue husband blues. We foster 1,000 horses, most whose names I can't recall, but at least I know a little piece of my wallet went out with them all. Now my wife loves the horses, and I've just had to accept that. Had a little more trouble with these 40 dogs and cats. Everything was fine until they commandeered my chair. Covered every piece of clothing I owned with piles and mounds of hair. Next thing you know, I'm gonna be renting another house, 'cause the animals will unionize and quickly vote me out. I'd like to think my wife will side with me when that day comes, but I don't know, she's got little ears for creatures with opposable thumbs. I guess there's worse obsessions that my darling might choose. That sure don't stop me from having the rescue husband blues. We fostered 1,000 horses, most whose names I can't recall, but at least I know a little piece of my wallet went out with them all. Now I know some of you fellas out there can surely sympathize. Same thing's been going on at your house and with your darling wife. So let's start us up a club. Let the meeting start, 'cause there's a whole lot of Shinerbach beer in misery. Come on and do your part. We've got the rescue husband blues. Sure don't got no money left to lose. Let's get together and talk about the days before our wives are rescue slaves and drink away so rescue husband blues. Just can't shake these rescue husband blues.
Well, that was the rescue husband blues. Well, Jamie, did that describe your life and in Chad's life?
Absolutely. Great song, Glenn. I actually, you know, sat there and listened to the whole entire thing. Now it's going to be stuck in my head all day.
I thought it was funny. Super nice guy, too. And he married into this. He was just, we had the same story, actually, except his wife ended up with the rescue of a bunch of horses. So, and they apparently have adopted out thousands through the year. Good guy.
Aw, that's great.
He sings a lot of other cool songs, too. I like his music, so we'll be playing some of those over time here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, it looks like you actually had a supporter, Jamie, and I know that sounds like something that doesn't happen very often. It probably happens more than we think, but this one actually supported you publicly. Kristen Kovach posted, Jamie, American Pharoah's first race was also apparently total garbage, and look at him now, hoping that Cosmic One figures it out soon.
Oh, God, I love it.
See? Somebody supporting.
No,
I
know.
Thought you think Cosmic One would suck so you could end up getting him for eventing. See, that's what I was hoping. That's what I
Listen,
thought.
He's going to be a superstar racehorse, and how dare you be the one to screw it up. You know what? We have time. We have time. Play the race. I want to hear the race.
Okay. It's sad. It's such
Tried
a sad
Tried and
race.
True coming up. Go sad. And away they go. Tried and True broke a little awkwardly his last early. De Church hopped out smartly, but it's Attack who wants the lead, so Attack goes on to lead De Church. Volume in the gold colors tucked in there as well. Pay the Bank now taken back a little, drops five off them. The pace solid early. Tried and True's now gone up to race in fourth, and Cosmic One is last. Cosmic One 8 off the leaders. They head onto the backstretch and Attack shows the way, leads it by just over a length on the far side, Volume in second. On the inside, to Church, traveling comfortably in the third spot. Tried and True is in fourth. They're bunching up front now. Pay the Bank gets a little closer as 4.5 off them. And then a big gap of 6 back to Cosmic One, who's last, now giving them a good 11-length start. They head to the half-mile pole and still Attack showing the way. Volume is in second. Along the inside, De Church continues to travel comfortably. Tried and True's on the far side. They tightly bunched here. Pay the Bank is right there, fifth. And let's see, there's a gap of 6 lengths back to Cosmic One. They run past the 3/8 pole. Attack still the leader to Volume. Tried and True on the far side. De Church going to have to find room on the inside. Behind that comes Pay the Bank. And Cosmic One starting to wind up now. Cosmic One is rolling, but still 8 off the lead. They are coming to the top of the lane now, and it's Tried and True on the grandstand side and Volume in the goal. That go on, then comes Attack. Cosmic One not getting involved too far back to win this one. They come for home, and it's Tried and True. Tried and True in front. Volume running a game one. Volume's coming back at Tried and True. Tried and True going to get there. Tried and True, one at a head. Volume was second. Then came Attack into Church.
Now, I want you to understand that there is, he made a run. He just didn't understand. Like, he ran up to it, like Jennifer was saying, and the dirt hit him in the face, and he dropped back. It's very common for a first race to do that. Not everybody is Zenyatta Glen, where they win their first race out and then proceed to win every other race of theirs 19 in a row. So you got to be a little nicer.
It's generous that he made a run. He went faster for about 4 strides and then decided that wasn't for him.
You know what? His mama started in the back, too, every race. So I was like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And he was like, he's making a run.
His mama actually made more than 4 strides at a speed to win some races. So
you're going to stop interrupting me with your negativity is what's going to happen. How about that? I think that he's got a lot of potential. Thank you, Jennifer, for laughing at that. So he's got a lot of potential. He's going to be good. It was just he just didn't quite have it, and he's just learning his job. And like our listener said, American Pharoah was terrible at the start, too. Seabiscuit. Look at Seabiscuit, Glenn. I mean, my God, the horse went for years without winning a race. Thank you very much. Seabiscuit. He's going to be the Seabiscuit of Santa Anita. Well, Seabiscuit ran the same. He's going to be the next Seabiscuit.
He needs a down-and-out jockey to take him back to the farm and ride him around through the woods. That's what he needs.
Cece Lopez!
Yeah, he doesn't have anything to ride right now, so that'd be perfect.
Lopez is the guy that needs to ride Cosmic One. Oh my God! Again, we're gonna call the Mosses and we're gonna let them know that put him on turf and put Cece Lopez on the tack.
And it will be grand. The Disney movie
awesome.
In the making, right there. That's right.
I love it. You're right. It is a Disney movie. Oh my God, we wrote history. It's awesome.
You heard it first here on Horses in the Morning.
That's right. You did. Right. You did.
I got to mention something else, too. Speaking of, I don't know, just a bad situation. Stephen Peters. I don't know if you were following that as far as the World Cup. But, you know, he and Legolas were doing very well. And they were in third place, I think, after Grand Prix, right? I think it's third place. And coming into freestyle, he ended up with an 80.35, which is very good. But they found one of the judges. They checked the horses after they ride, immediately after, and they found a tiny bit, like a drop or two of blood on the side where the spurs are, and so immediate elimination for that. And they did. They eliminated him immediately. And he admitted that, you know, that's exactly what they should have done. There was a drop or two of blood there. He said, I know what the rules are. Those are the rules, and that's what should happen. And he said that there's no doubt that they made the right rule. He did say, you know, one of the things, you know, Stephen Peters and his reputation, he is a very he trains with Monty Roberts, okay?
Yeah.
So he is very gentle in his training techniques. He's, you know, he's not doing anything.
He never uses a whip.
He doesn't use a crop, right? He doesn't even bring one in. He said this. He said, Legolas is a sensitive horse. Because of this, I ride with a dull, rounded-end spur without rowels. I cannot explain when this happened. I feel terrible for Legolas. I feel guilty and extremely embarrassed, and I apologize to the owners and the Federation and our friends and supporters, but I'm still very proud of Legolas. He did a wonderful job in the Grand Prix and the freestyle. So, you know, you know how some horses are more thin-skinned than others, like some dogs are and that kind of thing? You know, apparently he just, when he first started, he had this thing where at the beginning of the music, part of the music said, "Hi, I'm Legolas. Like, here I am. I'm coming out." And the audience went crazy and started to clap. Well, that caused Legolas to stop forward movement. And he did put his legs on him then, and he's thinking that that might have been what happened. But
it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I mean, my gosh, he like is the only dressage rider that refuses to carry a whip. You're right. He's done videos on training with Monty Roberts, who will not. I mean, he doesn't use whips or anything either. Obviously, he's like the most gentle dressage guy ever. Again, I think that somebody poked the horse before he went in.
You know, I think he's very humble. And talk about a super nice guy. I've talked to him several times. And Stefan is just the nicest guy ever. And he cares about his horses deeply. He really does. And, you know, I can't say that about all the professional riders we've ever met or talked to, right? But I will say that about Stefan. He is just a super nice guy. And it just, you know, it's one of those things that happened. And, the horse was not bleeding profusely. It was like a drop of blood. It was just one of those things. And he knows he did it wrong, and he was I can imagine he was mortified. Stefan would be mortified by this.
Oh, he's got to be heartbroken. But just if you guys are fans of Stefan Peters and Legolas, go on to Monty Roberts University. You can get the free day pass. He had Legolas years ago in one of the training sessions with Monty, and there's four or five videos, they're all very short, and it's before Legolas had done any World Cup things. He was like, "Yeah, I think this horse is going to be really special," and like, it's Legolas, like, what? So it's really cool to go on and watch it and to see, like, kind of, I mean, the horse is doing Piaf and Passage, but he's like, "Yeah, I just got him, and I'm really lucky to have the ride, and he's going to be really special," and it's like, yeah, you were right. You were right. He's special.
All right, let's go on to the next. We're just full of guests.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. That means it is time for the Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation to join us for the wacky world of horses. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to confirm with you real quick that you are going to join Jamie and Jennifer on Friday at 9:30, right? From Kentucky.
Live from Kentucky, yes, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yay!
Good. Terrific. So you'll be joining them. I'll be off. I'm actually going to a conference this weekend, so we just needed some live reports coming in from Kentucky. And if any of our listeners are going, please drop us a note on Facebook or email us, and we'll get you on the air on Friday as well. Now, you had sent us some links this time, and some of them were very funny. But the first one was the Pro Status Equestrian Edition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, hashtag Pro Status is something that, you know, it's floating around the internet right now, and so Kristen Kovach decided to put together sort of a little chart of equestrian life skills that, I think that if you have mastered some of these, you are approaching, if not already, at pro status. Pretty funny. They probably would make a bit of sense to non-horse people, but for horse people, I think this is probably will ring a few bells for folks.
The first one is so so critical. You just have to know when it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be there. And, of course, that is catching your horse's manure in a shovel before it hits the floor. Man.
Yeah.
Got to be on it.
Yeah, that's not even pro status. That's like amateur status. I mean, if you...
I know.
We're just warming up here.
Keep going.
Yeah, there's some hilarious ones on here. Let's see. You know, knowing all the local tax store employees on a first-name basis, check. capturing a loose horse with an old candy wrapper and a sweatshirt, check.
Check.
Fixing a bridle in a pinch with baling twine and riding with it, check.
Check.
let's see. Oh, memorizing the location of every gas station with easy access to the diesel pump. Absolutely.
It's easier now than it was when we first had our first diesel about 15 years ago. There were just no diesel gas stations. You had to find a truck stop somewhere because nobody had diesel back then. I think it is easier today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely easier today. For me, it's like I know maybe not specific gas stations, but I definitely know which exits. Like within a probably like 200-mile radius of where I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, like anywhere between like here in Tryon, here in Lexington, here in Atlanta, here in Nashville. I know which exits, which are, and not only the ones that have diesel pumps, but which gas stations are friendly to get in and out of with a four-horse trailer.
I know which ones have the nicest bathrooms. See, that's the thing I also put on my checklist because I'm getting
old. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it would be great. This would make like a great Google map. If somebody put together a like national map with little, you know, like little tabs on horse trailer friendly gas stations that have diesel, big parking lots, and nice bathrooms, the country. I would totally use that. If somebody made it into an app, I would use it. I would totally put it on my phone.
That
well,
sounds
here's
like a
our $1 million.
Yeah.
So some
perfect
listener out there, you feel free to grab that idea and develop it into reality. And
you know, the one that actually I related to as a horse husband, and I don't know how Chad feels about this, but holding the gate while leading your horse out of the pasture while keeping four other horses from running through. I used to hate that. When we had the big farm, five horses in a pasture. Jennifer was pretty good about never putting more than four or five in a pasture. I know some places put 10, and then it's a nightmare. But you put four or five, and you're trying to get your horse out, and the others are trying to push through. Oh, what a mess. I used to hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard, too, with an electric fence to do it. And I find usually, now this doesn't happen often because he doesn't bring in very often, but usually he just opens the gate. And they all just run over their stalls. He's like, forget it, it's too hard. Yeah, I've done that too.
Here's one I like. I bet this has all happened to all of us. This is an indicator of pro status. Falling off your horse and landing on your feet, you know, like when you stick the landing, you're just like, yeah, I mean, I just fell off, but I stuck the landing. You still like feel pretty good about yourself. You're like, oh man, I just fell off. You're like, hey, I'm a professional.
Hey, it's just like, Nadia Comb Beach, here you come. 10.
Boom.
All right, on to the next. These are funny. 18 reader submitted tolerant horses, costumes, clothes, and tarps edition. This was
We've been doing these 24-hour photo challenges for the last few months, and they have just blown up because, I mean, people love, like, do we not all love posting pictures of our horses? So we decided to sort of channel that impulse for our readers into like a photo challenge every week. We post it on Tuesdays, and we always give them some sort of topic. Last week was, I think we talked about this on last week's show, was the mare glare. Like that was the topic, and we got hundreds of photos. And this one went crazy too. The topic was reader-submitted tolerant horses. So people just, readers just sent us photos of their horses just putting up with all sorts of crap, being covered with tarps, having, let's see, yeah, we had a whole edition of horses and wearing costume, ridiculous costumes, and having, being covered up in tarps, and just like looking at the camera with just this expression of, my owner is nuts.
Oh my God. Bill, I'm reading that Build-A-Bear shoes are the exact same shape as baby horse feet, in case anybody is curious. And there is a foal wearing shoes. Oh, that's Rachel Rosenthal. She's a listener too. Shout out, Rachel. Poor pony. That, oh my God, that poor foal is probably grown up now and is like hating its mother.
Oh yeah. And not only is it wearing shoes, it has gloves on its ears, so it appears to be a baby moose. And it's just looking, it's just looking at the camera like, is this what my life is going to be like? I'm just, yeah, a baby, but really, is this...
Now, you're kind of a salty, been there, done that, seen everything kind of horse chick like me.
Oh, and no.
You know where I'm going with this, Glenn, don't you?
I do.
All right. I want to ask you, Leslie, have you seen the viral video of the girl that the foal comes up to her and, like, presses its head in her chest and they, like, lay down together and roll around and stuff? Have you seen that?
What? I don't even know how I missed that, but I have not seen that. I thought I'd seen everything on the internet, but I've not seen that.
Glenn, your sound is terrible. You may want to call back. Leslie, go, and you got to Google this right now. I know you're sitting in front of a computer. It's so viral. Went like 7 million views. You can see in anybody's Facebook feed. It's this foal. And did we put it on our Facebook page, Jennifer?
Okay, I'm Googling it right now. Adorable foal rolling around with owner.
Oh, it's
very
on
cute.
Yeah, so watch that video.
It didn't really come up, but I think maybe that wasn't the most.
It's on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It's on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You go check it out, and you got to watch this video, and I want to get your live opinion of this.
Okay.
It's the cutest baby horse ever. It's so adorable. It's just, oh, my God.
Okay. Here we go. Do I need to turn the volume up?
You don't need volume.
Squealing.
Are you watching this?
Hold on. It's loading.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, this is taking forever. Everybody stick with me here. Is it still doing?
Oh my God. Okay, it's on. It's on. What? Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What? They just lay down together like they're spooning. Oh my gosh. Oh, now it's licking her face. Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? What? What is even going on?
And then it gets up and runs away.
Oh, its neck is scratchy. Oh. Is kissing her again. What?
I love the live feed of it, Leslie. So, being said, it's adorable, and it's the cutest thing ever. My first reaction was like, oh, my God, that's the cutest thing ever. And then your second reaction is, oh, God, they're screwed when that horse grows up. Is that bad? I mean, is he bad?
One of the things, it's cute for a little while, but then your horse lays down on you and crushes you to death, and maybe it's not as cute anymore.
Exactly. I mean, thank God you said it, because I was like, oh my God, it's the cutest thing ever. Oh, they're screwed. I'm like, that's terrible. It's going to kill her. It's going to kill somebody.
At least she was wearing a helmet and a safety vest. I mean,
yeah. When it's a baby And then you're like, hey, time to eat. Come out of the pasture, giant 1,000-pound thoroughbred. And it comes galloping up and pumps you in the chest and flips you over and crushes you.
This one really had to trust mom. You had to know mom, because if mom wasn't happy about that situation, you were in trouble.
All right, bring Jenny on. Bring Jenny Autry on right now. Let's get her on. She's on hold, and she's seen the video. Jenny, are you with me or are you against me?
I mean, the first thing I thought was, this is not going to be good when this thing gets a little bit bigger.
Thank
and then
you.
It's playing really rough. Yeah, it's so sweet. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want, like, it to be crawling into my lap when it weighs 500 pounds, and it's only going to get worse from there.
Exactly. This is a racehorse. You know, this is a thoroughbred, what I've read somewhere. It's a thoroughbred. It's going to be huge. And here you are teaching it. Okay, so the reason we brought this up, girls, is that I saw it online and all these people shared it on my page, and I immediately type under the comments, oh, my God, this is going to be a nightmare when this thing grows up. And then I see everybody else's comments, and they're like, I'm crying. It was so beautiful. I think it's a special. And I realize I'm an old B-I-T-C-H. I'm like, I'm horrible. I'm just this curmudgeon-y horse person who just but I'm glad I'm not the only one. Y'all joined me. Welcome to this side. I just had to have it happen. Good.
It's
thank
strange
you,
for us. It's strange for us to be the voice of reason. That doesn't really happen ever, right?
No, I know. It never happens. Enjoy it.
While we talk about Rolex, can you hang on with us?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Yeah, Leslie, we've been talking with Jenny and kind of our Rolex preview, and after last week, a lot of stuff changed, Jenny. Of course, Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation. We've got Horse Nation, Eventing Nation. It's just the whole nation is here. Tell us what's kind of the updates. We already talked to Lainey Ashker today, and she is on her way. She's in a caravan stuck in traffic in Atlanta right now, driving up to Kentucky. So a lot of people have made their way, but some aren't going to make it.
Yeah, it's been interesting. A lot of high-profile withdrawals since we last spoke. One interesting one was that Andreas Stabowski, who was one of the German riders coming, has withdrawn his horse because he was just not happy with U.S. quarantine restrictions kind of at the last minute. And there's a 72-hour period during which the grooms can't go in, but the horses, they have to be kept completely isolated. That's just how it is coming into the U.S. from Europe. And he didn't think that his horse would be able to handle that type of environment. I guess he can be a little bit high maintenance. So that was one who we were expecting to finish really well, and now he's out. William Fox Pitt has withdrawn two of his three horses. We were expecting him to withdraw Park Lane Hawk to go to badminton, which he did, but he also withdrew Freddie Mac, so now he just has last year's winner, A My Hero, which is interesting for him to only have one.
I picked him and Park Lane Hawk to win, so I'm out. And then I also picked Allison Springer and Arthur. I did really well on my picks this year.
Yeah, and they unfortunately were another one of our heavy hitters who was withdrawn. He just had a minor injury at the last minute, which is what can happen so often. I mean, we joke about bubble wrapping the horses when you get this close to a big spree day, but it really is like that. The smallest injury can take these horses out. So it's disappointing to have that happen. Especially for Allison, we were really disappointed for her. So right now the entries are down to 76 with these latest withdrawals.
76. Now, how does that compare to the number of entries in the past?
So last year we had 63 entered on Wednesday morning for the first horse inspection. That's how things kick off. Every horse is presented to the grand jury, trotted up to make sure that they're sound and ready to compete, and then three horses didn't make it through for the jog. Two were withdrawn, and one was not accepted. So 60 horses actually started in dressage. So we're actually still doing pretty good. We have 76 today. Of course, anything could happen in the next few days, but we're already at 16 higher than last year. So I think it's going to be the biggest deal that the event has ever seen, for sure, by the time we actually get there.
Leslie, I know you and Jenny are going to be at that first horse inspection. Are you a fashionista, either one of you, really, or are you a horse girl who's, like, impressed by the fashion?
Yeah, I think Jenny's going to do she's grown a reputation for being the fashion police, sort of a Joan Rivers of the jog, so we're all looking forward to her commentary on that this year.
I don't know, Leslie. I saw your stripper heels that you got married in, so I didn't know.
She totally did. Yeah. She was rocking the crazy stripper heels.
She was. So Jenny, you're going to be.
I can say Jenny looks so much better than Joan Rivers. Can I just jump in here and say that?
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yes.
Had a little less facial work done than she did.
Yeah. God rest your soul.
This is our
God rest her soul.
Yeah. Absolutely, God rest her soul. But yes, this is our fashion week for U.S. Eventing. Everyone goes all out, and Dewberry every year names the best dressed female and male, and then I'll also put on my Joan Rivers hat and pick our best dressed for Eventing Nation as well. Every year there's kind of a theme, so you never know what is going to be the theme. Like last year we saw a lot of orange, and so I'm really excited to see what we're going to be looking at this year. Just from some of the sneak peeks that I've been seeing on social media, it looks like we might be seeing a lot of like off-white and cream colors. So it also depends on how the weather looks. The forecast has been really up and down. It's been raining on and off in Lexington, so of course, it might rain on the parade, which means that we wouldn't be able to see everybody showing off the best of what they can bring to the fashion table. So hopefully we have sunshine in Lexington on Wednesday so that everybody can wear their Plan A outfit. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Now, do you believe in the old adage that the shorter the skirt, the lamer the horse? Or is that
well? That is yes. That is a long held belief in eventing. I mean, we definitely see some legs on the jog strip. I'm not saying that anyone's doing it to hide a lame horse. I'm not saying that, but I mean, if you got it, flaunt it. And we've got some good legs in eventing. So, Rocket Girls, we're ready. We're ready and waiting.
She was wearing. We forgot to ask her, Jamie. We usually are good at that.
Yeah, but who are you wearing is what we're supposed to ask. Now, Leslie, you've done jog-ups before, and I know that, again, you are the fan of the stripper heels. Do you think that these girls in these what's your footwear of choice when you're watching? Like, I see those open-toed shoes, and I just cringe because I'm like, I'm going to get stepped on. Do you believe in going out in the heels, or do you think that a sensible flat is a better idea?
Oh, man. I mean, I love heels. I love heels, but I am also a pony clipper at heart, and whenever I see someone out there and like little, you know, like either heels or open toed anything, it makes me, makes me cringe a little. So, I mean, I'm all for sensible footwear, it seems. It's like, and you know what would happen? You know what happened to me if I was jogging my horse for Rolex? You get all the way to the 4-star, you're at the jog, and then you're wearing like some open toed, like little, you know, kitten heels or ballet flats or something, and then your horse stomps your foot. This is what happens. Then your horse stomps your foot, and your foot's broken, and then you've got to go jump the biggest course of your life. So, exactly what would happen to me.
So I'm a fan, and you guys let me know if this happens, please. I'm a fan of the Taylor Swift look where you wear a cute dress and cowboy boots. So if I ever were able to do a jog up with my horse, if I ever made it to where I would be in a fancy enough competition to have a jog, I'm saying dress and cowboy boots.
I would love to see someone do that. Normally we do see just the heels or the flats, so or boots. I have witnessed someone wearing some something, some sort of high heel boot. I don't want to call it a stripper boot, but it was kind of a stripper boot. She did break her heel in the jog at a big 4-star. I will not say who it was, but I have looked at that. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful with those heels. Like, the last thing you want to do is have that heel snap off on you when you're trying to present your horse to the ground jury, and I have seen it happen. So people are living dangerously. Living dangerously in fashion.
All right, guys, I have to interrupt. We have to get off of fashion here for a minute because we're running out of time. I have to know, Jenny, what kind of coverage are you guys going to have at Eventing Nation for Rolex this year?
So we've been going full blast, giving you everything you need to know about the entries, the withdrawals, introducing you to all the Rolex rookies. Essentially, we will be arriving on the grounds tomorrow, and it'll be nonstop content going all the way through on Sunday. We are doing sights and sounds around the course. We'll have the course preview. We'll be at all of the ring familiarizations to show you all the pictures of what everyone's looking like. And, of course, we'll have all of the live reports, the recaps, the photos, the videos, everything you could possibly want to see will be on Eventing.
Live blogging again this year or not?
Yep, we will have the live blog, and we encourage everyone to sit in there where we'll be having some of our writers offering commentary. And, of course, you can watch the entire thing on USDF Network completely free of charge to watch that live stream, and that will start Thursday morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, so they are doing dressage this year?
They are, and we'll have that link right on the Eventing Nation homepage, so it'll be really easy to find, and we'll have that full schedule listed right on the homepage as well. So it's your one-stop shop. If you are following Rolex, then you need to be on Eventing Nation this week.
And, of course, if you're just a passive eventer, venting watcher, you're going to want to watch on Saturday for cross country. That usually starts with 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere in that range.
Yeah,
it'll
10 o'clock.
Yep, and then you can watch that on FEI Network. And what the best thing to do, and this is really fun, we've done it before, you watch it on FEI Network, and or not on FEI, on USDF Network, and it's free to watch it there. And then you also have Eventing Nation's live blog going, and it's a lot of fun to watch the comments and everything that are coming in. And I think that's the best way to do it.
Yep, and we also have we'll also be live tweeting at on Twitter. So, I mean, really, however you want to follow it, we have an option for you. We're also going to have a lot of fun on Instagram this year. Our account is Go Eventing, and we're going to be doing some fun contests and Instagram photo challenges. If you're on the ground, you need to play along, so definitely follow us on Instagram at Go Eventing if you aren't already.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Leslie, where can they find you Saturday? Because Leslie will have her...
Oh, I will be at the party, obviously. Eventing Nation is having its third annual cross-country day tailgate, Insanity in the Middle tailgate party. And so we'll be out there in the infield. We'll have full details posted on Eventing Nation so you can find us. And we'll have sort of a schedule of we've got activities lined up through the day, although we will be missing our trivia host this year, crying a little tears spilling on my cheek right now. Going, you guys did a great job of hosting trivia last year, but we're gonna have lots of fun. Stop by if you're out there.
Pour a little out for me. All right, so I'm not gonna make it.
We're gonna miss you guys this year. Watching from home, and we'll be wishing you the best. And Leslie, we'll talk to you Friday morning at 9:30 with the report live from Rolex. And Jenny, we'll be watching all the coverage on EventingNation.com.
All right. We can't wait.
Thank you, Jenny,
bye, guys.
By the way.
Thanks.
Bye.
For joining us. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
They're so
all right,
fun.
Guys. I know. It's going to be... It's going to be so much fun watching the coverage this weekend. USDFnetwork.com is where you'll find the live feed, and they do a terrific job with it. So, you'll actually see more than you would if you were there watching the cross country in person.
You say that, and I know you're trying to sell me on it, and I understand that, but it's just, I love the USDF Network, but there's just nothing like being there and watching the horse thunder right by you and jump a 5-foot hedge fence right in front of your face and just, I'm going to miss it so. But don't worry,
I am going to make it to my father's birthday party, which is why I'm not going to Rolex, because 2 weeks later I have to fly back across the country. So I'm not bitter. I'm not saying that.
You're not going to be able to watch it live either, are you?
I will be watching on my phone. So I'll get it. I'll watch it. I have an iPad.
There you go. You can do it that way. Well, that'll work. Well, look, we started out the show with you being a curmudgeon and then kind of being redeemed by your fellow horse people throughout the show, right? I mean,
I was.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now, you know, we're still out on Cosmic One. We'll see how that goes in the future. But you were definitely redeemed on looking like a total curmudgeon.
I would like to say that if you keep bringing up Cosmic One, I'm going to cry on the show again. So let's drop the cause thing. It's going to happen. It's going to be fine. No big deal. Zenyatta's proud of Mama, and she's going to be proud of her baby again. It's not over. It's not over. I love you, Glenn.
I will tell you that Sheriff's is reporting that he'll be shipped to Belmont Park. And he'll begin racetrack training at Belmont Park, and his next start will likely be in New York. So
all right.
That's what's coming up. And one other bit of good news on racing, too. I got to mention this because we had the owners on, and I feel like we know them. It's Texas Red is going to be back in action in May. He's been given a clean bill of health. You remember we had the owner on, the lady that was very nice. And it looks like they're going to be bringing him back to training and may run in by June. So. Good going, Texas Red. Just going to miss that little race there in May.
Yeah, just a little one. Well, no big deal. No big deal. He'll be all right. He'll come back. Maybe he'll win the Belmont. Who knows? anyway, everybody have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to all of our many guests who came on the show today. And don't forget, spay, neuter, and geld. What you got to do.
See you, everybody. Thanks.
Hey, Glenn. I want the Vallegro Briar. Vallegro's going to be a briar, so put it in my order.
All right.